It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, as we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telich. JT, a Browns win on Sunday means a happy week here in Northeast Ohio. How you doing? Staying a little dry after Wednesday's drizzle?
Yeah, trying to stay dry, and yeah, it's good, Rocco, to get that first win. I think most people had them at 1-1, so here they are, and they've got things to work on. But they're 1-1, and it's certainly the alternative of being 0-2. That would not be pleasant at all here in Brownstown.
Oh no, it would be a meltdown here right now. That is for sure. And yeah, they do get that first win under their belts, but didn't come without its bumps and bruises. And I think one of the bigger pieces that they'll be without now moving forward, Jarvis Landry, set to miss at least 3 games with an MCL sprain. So JT, what does that do in that wide receiver room, and what does that do for the team in general as they try to move without Jarvis here for a couple weeks?
Well, I know right after the game we were asking some of the players and coaches and what have you about losing a guy. This is a guy that's the emotional leader of the team that sets the culture. He set the culture before Baker and really Miles put their stamps of approval on it as well. We all know that famous hard knock scene where he was in the wide receivers room and just said, "I will not accept this." And I thought that was kind of a turning point for the culture in the building in Berea. So he's a phenomenal game day performer. We know the history of him, Rocco, 111 games with 2 or more catches. That streak that he had, which will be discontinued now, will be stopped because he's missing 3 games. That is the 4th longest in NFL history, which is just tells you kind of what you're working with when you lose a guy of his talent. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler. He's universally respected and loved. He's probably the toughest guy on the team, although I'm sure Baker would want to give him a run for the money with him playing with the, you know, one arm and tackling people with the other and what have you. But against Houston, what it did immediately, and I give Stefanski credit on this, he's the keeper of the offensive side of the football. You know, Baker was just getting rid of the ball quickly. He made his reads. He threw his passes. He dropped back, or he didn't drop back, but there were 28 plays, I believe, where they wanted to throw the football, and he ended up having to run like 8 different times. So it just told me that he had different guys that were trying to get open, and one of them wasn't Jarvis Landry, who was very good at getting open. And so he had to make quick reads. He relied on, you know, the tight ends. We saw that. They had 11 catches in the game, so he went to the tight ends. They were very productive for him. He was only pressured 3 out of 28 snaps. Tells me that, again, he was efficient, made the quick reads, got rid of the football, when in doubt, took off with his feet, tried to be smart about it, even though we know, you know, he did injure himself on an interception. And I think Baker said it best yesterday when he met with the media the first availability of the week. He said, "We are not asking anyone in this building to fill the shoes of Jarvis Landry." And that would, Rocco, also mean number 13 if he's able to play this week. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, as we speak, there's still going to be some question as to whether or not OBJ plays. But you can't ask anybody, even an OBJ, to do what Jarvis Landry was able to do. He was such a great teammate / Swiss Army knife, someone that you relied on, super tough, real Cleveland Brown that the old school fans gravitated towards, and the kids today that are young and have grown up on the Browns, the bad Browns, if you will, they look at him and say, "This guy gets it." And so they miss a lot, but they did adjust. You know, they adjusted as much as they could. On Sunday, they went out and scored, you know, 31 points. So obviously they did something right.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jarvis is a 1-of-1, and no question about that. And hopefully he's able to come back sooner than later. Again, the early estimation, 3 weeks he'll be missing with that MCL sprain. So, JT, you mentioned it somewhere in there, the Baker Mayfield interception. That's how he ends up hurting that shoulder in Sunday's win over the Texans. The turnovers for the Browns starting to pile up a little bit here through the first 2 weeks. Is that a concern for you moving forward?
I think it is. And I think what they did fairly well last year, which helped them as they were kind of growing into that offense for Kevin Stefanski. And then the defense was just trying to kind of keep their heads above water. But they did force turnovers last year, and they were on the positive side of the takeaway giveaway category. But so far, after two games, you know, they've handed the ball over to the other guys four different times. You could say five if you want to count the Jamie Gillen mishandling of the snap and, you know, that debacle there. So, I mean, they gave the ball away too many times. You can't even do it once against Kansas City, and it cost them. And you could also say, Rocco, hey, they scored 31 points, and they gave the ball away a couple of times. So, you know, maybe that's the sign of a team that has more margin of error than they had in past years. On the other side, when they force a turnover, when they get something positive for their offense, they've got to be a little better at converting. You know, there were two turnovers that the Browns came up with. You had the Malcolm Smith interception, and then you also had the muffed punt that was covered up by, I think it was Taki Taki. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they converted one of those two. Got to convert both. They did that real well last year. They had those short fields where they got an interception or a fumble recovery, or Miles would swat the ball out of some quarterback's arm, and they converted. So they got to be better at that.
John Telich, our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads, the perfect place for that game day snack. JT, Myles Garrett had some comments after the game about that defense. You know, fans have their concerns with that side of the football as well. Where do you stand with that side?
Yeah, I was a little surprised being, you know, in that converted locker room slash news conference room when Miles did bring up the fact that they did not expect Taylor and the first string offense in the first half there before Tyrod Taylor was injured, didn't expect them to be throwing the ball so much, you know, early in the counts, like on a first down or a second down. So they kind of were on their heels. He said he was caught a few times. He was inside, and you know, he's still working on coordinating how he moves alongside, you know, the defensive tackles, how Clowney does his thing on the other side of the defensive line. So they changed things up. They threw early in downs. We all can universally agree the pass rush potentially can be really good, but so far hasn't been as advertised. So they have to be better there. And I really think they got a break when the mobile quarterback, when Tyrod Taylor, who's a veteran, who's been around this league many times, knows how to win. When Tyrod injured himself when he was jogging in for that score, you could just see that, all right, that opened the door for the defense to maybe kind of get their legs underneath them, get the coordination amongst each other better, because it's still a work in progress. And I think we also have to give them a little bit of a leeway here. It's early in the year. They're missing Anthony Walker. Found out about that late in the week. Boom, he's not playing. You know, he's the guy that calls everything, that the guys rally around. So there, I'm sure, were more instances that you would have liked to have seen where you saw the defensive backs, the safeties looking at the cornerbacks or back and forth, like, okay, you know, did we play that one just right? So you also have, you know, a little mixture of some guys that have been around a while and know how to make plays when they need them. And that's what, like, someone like Malcolm Smith was able to do for them when he intercepted that one ball. So they're a work in progress. I think, you know, we'll get into the Bears game coming up, but they're a work in progress. And I would just say that, you know, they're going to see all different types of quarterbacks. They saw a real young kid in that second half, and you kind of figured that they'd keep him at bay, but they got to, you know, they have to get their techniques together. They've got to be more synchronized with one another. And I think that just comes from playing. And they didn't play much in preseason, and they're only two games into the regular season. So, yeah, and there were some good – there's some bright spots. I think if you want, Rocco, let's bring up Grant Delpit. I mean,
yeah,
I really like what I saw. I really I know he was – snaps were in the 20s, I think it was, that he was out on the field. There's a lot to work with there. And I know Joe Woods wants to have that big dime thing working where you've got Delpit, Ronnie Harrison, and John Johnson the third as the three safeties. That way, when you got guys like that on the field, or maybe even JOK's out there, he can mix things up and maybe send Delpit a little bit more on a safety blitz like Delpit did, who got to the quarterback on that one play, or maybe use JOK in that same kind of a package, if you will, because those are very fast, young, athletic players. So gives them some options. But the defense is a work in progress. The offense so far, I think, is played pretty good. I mean, they're averaging 30 points a game. You cannot look down on that.
Well, I like what you said there about Delpit's return and kind of utilizing that big dime package on defense, JT, because with offenses as talented and loaded and fast as they are anymore these days, you got to kind of be able to match that defensively, and having a good, effective dime package like the Browns are trying to do with Delpit and friends in that secondary, I think they're well on their way to achieving that. So
I agree.
You brought it up there, JT, so I'll ask you about it here now. The Bears coming into town this upcoming Sunday. Justin Fields got into the game on Sunday. I didn't see exactly what had happened. I don't know if Andy Dalton had got hurt earlier, and that's why Fields had came in. So if you know, I'll let you kind of go into that. But what are your expectations as the Browns host Chicago on Sunday?
Yeah, just had kind of a weird thing when he was going out of bounds talking about Dalton. But I think as you know, the week goes on more and more, I have a really strong feeling that, you know, we are going to see Fields.
Okay.
And, you know, and he'll play on Sunday. And so you've got a kid, a rookie, who does not have much experience at all. I know he played some snaps on Sunday in their game. And, you know, there's tremendous potential because we saw that with him at Ohio State. I'm excited to see how he plays, and as much as people kind of knock an Andy Dalton around, I think fans would probably rather see Andy Dalton in there, you know, because he's not as mobile, because the defense can get to him, they can you know, run some of these blitz patterns and maybe knock him around a little bit. With Justin Fields, as we saw with Tyrod Taylor, you know, there's that escapability, and when the script is kind of ripped out of your hands, who's a difference maker in the National Football League? Well, I think the number one difference maker in the league is the quarterback in Kansas City. And so, and I'm not saying that Justin Fields is the next Patrick Mahomes, but when the script is ripped out and you've got to make something off of your athletic ability, I think Justin Fields got a ton of that. So it'll be interesting to see if indeed it trends towards him getting all the snaps. How the Browns defense attacks a young player such as a Justin Fields.
Should be a win on Sunday, right, JT? I don't see why the Browns shouldn't be able to take care of business. What do they got to do to do just that and not let Chicago sneak in there and steal a victory?
Well, first of all, keep Khalil Mack away from Baker Mayfield. That would probably be a nice thing to do. Continue to run the football. I mean, I know fans are kind of concerned or not necessarily upset, but maybe perplexed at the lack of carries so far that Nick Chubb has had. But when you look at the combination of Nick and also Kareem, and let me bring this up as a comparison to the workhorse down in Tennessee. Derrick Henry's had 52 carries this year, 240 yards, 3 touchdowns. The guy we call Chunt, you know, Chubb and Hunt. Chunk has 45 carries, 262 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Now, yes, Nick Chubb got paid. Everybody loves Nick Chubb. We all eat his cereal, and we go to Chipotle. But Nick Chubb's going to have a nice career if the Browns continue to have the offensive play that they've had, and he doesn't have to carry 52 times over 2 games the way that Derrick Henry did. I'm not saying that he can't, because we've seen that he has the ability to, and we all know he does get stronger as the game goes on, it appears. But what Stefanski has done so far, utilizing both of these talents, who are somewhat different, Kareem is like shot out of a cannon when he gets the ball, and Nick is that calculated, incredibly quick decision maker on the nuances of the blocks and getting into a seam and then juking right and going left, and all this within the span of a 7-yard run. It's a beautiful thing to watch. And so they got a luxury with those two guys. It doesn't mean you have to grind one guy into the ground and have him gasping for air come the fourth quarter. So they have a good thing going there, and I would assume on Sunday if they can continue to try to do that wide zone stuff, try to get to the edges, and allow those guys. I know on Sunday they had it to the point where they had such good play, line play, where both Kareem and Nick were successful when they hesitated and then cut back the other way, and there was room to run. So I would expect more of that, and it's just a lot of fun to watch Chubb and to watch Kareem Hunt run the football. Now we've got to get Kareem Hunt some commercials. I mean, Chubb's got his. Now Kareem needs some. So there's certainly some Cleveland businesses that can step up. Maybe something out in Willoughby where he went to high school. I don't know. Give this guy a couple commercials.
He seems like he's got some acting skills hidden somewhere within that persona, right?
When you look at that roster, Rocco, you've got Baker doing the progressives. He's got Jedrick Wills in many of those spots doing stuff with him. He's got his beautiful wife, Emily, she's a natural. Then you've got, you know, Chubb and his commercials, which is so counterintuitive to what we have all known Chubb to be. You know, there he is, smiling, selling cereal and selling Chipotle and what have you. And Kareem is more outgoing. So give the guy a couple of commercials. I saw on the Indians broadcast a couple of nights ago that Joel Bitonio and Jack Conklin have a commercial, and I can't recall what it's for, but they're doing some rap thing that they came up with, and I'm sure it was not intended to be a great commercial, but, you know, it got my attention in that respect. So maybe there's hope for Kareem Hunt to kind of catch up to the Baker and the Chubbs of the world in the commercial department.
Boy, who would have thought 5 years ago we'd have multiple Cleveland Browns in multiple different commercials as the face of multiple different companies? I mean, unbelievable, JT, the turnaround.
And Rocco, you've got we got retired guys doing commercials like Josh Cribbs. So there you go.
Yeah, wow. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. JT, I appreciate the time as always. Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll be looking forward to seeing you around the Friday night sidelines as well this week. And looking forward to another Browns victory on Sunday as they will host the Bears at 1:00. Thanks again, JT.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.